Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Pack Your Mics, the Top Chef podcast from the creators of Read and Weep. Each week, we break down the most recent episode of our favorite reality competition show, Top Chef, with summaries, analysis, and clothing and makeup snark. As we introduce ourselves this week, when we go around the country saying hi, you guys, this week I'd like everyone to say their favorite classic dish that they would like to see reimagined on the show. So I'm the host. I'm Alex Falcone. And so, for example, for me, what I would like to see is Megan's dad has this traditional thing when her mom's away, when they were kids, where he would make chili and poppin' fresh croissants and then watch a movie with them. And I would love the chefs to reinvent that, including their bread has to get into a can. And then they also have to tell me what movie we would watch.
That's fun. My dad would really like that.
I think he would. I really want, if it, not just bread, but any food item that went when you opened it, I would be pleased with it.
That's amazing.
That's how you know it's fresh.
Yeah.
Exactly. Keeping the poppin' and poppin' fresh. You know?
Megan, what would you have them reinvent for you?
I would have the chefs reinvent the casserole.
Okay.
Mostly because I think it would be really funny to watch them try to plate a casserole so that it looked attractive.
Instead of just a big pile of anything.
Yeah, whenever you make a casserole, like you're trying to get it onto the plate and it's just like this big blob.
Yeah.
And so I mean, I would like to see how they deal with that
problem. I do have one recommendation. Canister.
Plate
it in the canister.
Or the individual like ramekins or some stuff.
Yeah, that's actually what I was thinking, Chris.
Yeah, it would probably be a
ramekin. Everyone loves their own serving dish.
Like, well, and it would be like a ramekin on like a triangular plate that looks like a hat or something.
All right, how about this? We put a bunch of ramekins that are cooked inside of a canister roll.
Wait.
Whoa.
And then you pop open a giant vacuum sealed thing and just ramekins fly at your eyes?
No, they just all like, no, it's, no.
They just expand
it's like when they put the frosting container in the cinnamon roll canister.
Yeah, that's true.
The most concussion inducing meal.
The lawsuits might be an issue.
It's also very heavy.
All right. Well, let's go to Brooklyn next. What would you guys like to see reimagined? Chris and Tanya.
I'm Chris. Hi, you guys. And
hi.
This is no surprise to anybody who knows me, but I'd like to see their take on the ice cream sundae.
Ooh. Ooh.
Yeah, class it up a bit.
Have we not seen an ice cream sundae before? Oh, we had it on dessert.
I've seen an ice cream sundae plenty of times.
I've been imagined on this show, obviously.
No, I've seen one. Yeah.
There was a dessert.
For some reason, that really got me.
I think there was a Just Desserts where they had to do an ice cream sundae.
Oh, yeah.
We should go back and find that. That was fun. I would also like to see if they did ice cream sandwich, because I would like to see what...
Oh, yeah. Because the problem is that the bread part of the sandwich always sticks to your fingers.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's sort of a problem, but then you just get to lick it off.
Yeah, it's not a big problem.
So it's a problem you like solving.
It's not like a ramekin to the eyeball level problem. Tanya,
structural issues.
What would you have them reimagine for you?
I would go tuna sandwich, because I love tuna sandwiches.
Ooh,
and I
good.
Would like to see them do some stuff with
maybe
with
some nice a quick pickle. I'm pretty sure would be involved in that.
I think a great pickle, you know, maybe
a pickle.
Yeah, you've got a great tuna sandwich. Why put a pickle on it?
Exactly.
Your pickle ruined that tuna sandwich.
You've got a great pickle in that tuna sandwich. Why not a nice burger?
You stuff the burger inside of the tuna sandwich.
Isn't Sarah, what would you guys like?
Oh, Tanya just went. Uh-huh. I think I would like to see popcorn reimagined because I think the world has started going in that direction. Every so often you can find, you know, flavored popcorns, but I don't know. We need to see more. We need to see like popcorn on things and in things and stuffed in things.
Yeah, like a popcorn
crust. I'm pretty sure that Hung would like carve popcorn individually out of daikons or something.
Yeah.
And he'd have the time. He's so fast.
Richard Blaze would make a banana popcorn where it's just out of banana.
Or like a banana liquid foam, nitrogen. Marcel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, popcorn foam.
Yeah.
Guys, wait.
Somebody would cook a scallop inexplicably because it's Top Chef.
For real, this is kind of brilliant. All right, you stuff like popcorn kernels into like the skin of like a chicken like wing and like just deep fry it.
Wow. And then it pops the corn.
Brilliant.
So they would pop and explode the chicken skin.
It just looks like it's been through a battle.
So served. This dish is called Holes in My Chicken Skin.
Yeah, just exit wounds.
Yeah, exit wounds. Oh God. Wow. Although, you know, it's cooked a la minute, so
yeah,
always.
And it will have the great poof.
Yeah,
we want it all over food.
It would be perfect for me.
Yeah, it would also pop and shoot hot frying oil into anybody.
Right into your ramekins.
Yeah, right into the ramekins.
All right, you guys.
If I can go.
Oh, that wasn't yours?
No.
Oh, okay.
I was going to reimagine popcorn also.
Oh, okay.
No, for reals though, I was thinking about this. A carrot. How would they redo it?
That lady from season one is just like, here is your carrot. This is how
How would you redo a carrot, guys?
Yeah, because you can't cook it because cooked carrots are gross.
Yeah.
It's my least favorite food for a number of years.
Could you take
smoothies.
Could you put a parsnip in orange sauce?
I like it. Yeah, you could. Yeah, you could smoothie it and then like kind of like. I guess add gel and then like reconstitute the carrot.
Or sometimes at Chinese restaurants, they like carve carrots into little animals.
That's true. I've seen a chicken that was made out of a carrot.
I would take
What if you made carrots into the shape of popcorn and then stuffed them inside chicken?
All right, awesome, you guys. Well, let's just dive right into episode 4 today. We're talking about episode 4 of Top Chef as well as episode 1 of. Last Chance Kitchen, but we'll get to that in a second.
Oh, fuck.
Oh.
We did not. No.
No, we're not.
No.
Okay, apparently we're not. I should have. I just assumed. Okay. Well.
Should have put it on the homework assignment.
And didn't. Well, our listener's going to be sadly disappointed.
Listener.
I guess we have to write one commenter. I guess we can tie that into next week's episode, I guess. Anyway, next week we'll watch both of them.
Yeah.
Well, you guys are in luck because there's some fun stuff coming up. Okay, so just talking about episode 4 of Top Chef then, so as not to spoil anything for you guys. How about San Francisco? Why don't you guys describe for us, one of you describe for us the elimination challenge? Because there's no quickfire today, which means so far out of 4 episodes, 2 episodes had no quickfire, and 1 had a super intense quickfire.
Yeah, basically elimination fire.
Yeah, elimination fire. So really, very 1 quickfire so far this season. But yeah, talk to us about the elimination.
Well, so far, they had, I don't even remember, what was the name of the guy, the non-
Eddie Huang.
Eddie!
Okay, Eddie and Emeril take the chef testants on a tour of Vietnamese food in New Orleans, because apparently there's a vibrant,
That's a thing?
Yeah, there's a vibrant Vietnamese, food and culture happening in New Orleans, which is, I like Vietnamese food, that's great.
Lots of shrimping going on.
There is some shrimping.
Apparently, Vietnamese people do a lot of the shrimping in that area, and also a lot of the banh mi, which is to their credit.
Yeah. and then they got a chef Testin's got to make some like a 4-course, I believe Vietnamese. Man, Chris, you make this look so much easier.
Yeah. It's called meal.
Yeah, thank you, meal.
4-course meal. Nicely. Yeah. On the assist, Sarah.
Picking up the slack. And so they're split up into 3 teams of 5. One of them, which I thought maybe was a loaded team, we had Sarah with the tattoos, who seemed like she knew the...
She knew from Asian food.
She knew from Asian food. We had Janine, the Australian blonde, who had been to Thailand and was pretty confident. And also, of course, Travis.
Who only sleeps with Asian men.
And also went to Vietnam, knew a lot about that, he thought.
Yeah.
Which, if you, had watched the show before, could just, like, smell, like, the doom coming off of him.
He was just so radiating doom. He took a doom bath that morning. Still hadn't toweled off entirely. I was worried about him, too, because in all of the interviews they had with him, Travis was talking about how much he loved this food and how much he cared about it. It was like, if he doesn't win, keep the knives away from him.
Yeah.
It looked so unstable, that whole episode.
Go ahead, Megan.
Oh, I was just going to say, speaking of keeping the knives away from people, like, what happened to the knife block this season?
Yeah.
Why are they just, like, pointing at people? That doesn't seem random.
That's very interesting. I was going to bring this up, because what happens is, Eddie and Emeril just go into the house, say, hey, everybody gather in the living room. There's 15 of you, so, like, you 5 be a team, and you 5 be a team, and
Emeril
you 5
looked
be...
like a high school teacher, dividing people up into study groups.
Just barely tenured high school teacher.
Yeah.
The problem here, right, is that everybody who's friends are, you know, all next to each other, which is normally, you know, which is A, you know, teams are getting along, so maybe that's bad for reality TV, but also the talent tends to hang out with each other. Mm-hmm. So we had one team that was, it was Shirley, Nina, Justin, who else was on that team?
Shirley, Nina, Justin, Carrie.
And Patty was on that team too, but like basically four out of the five of those.
Patty made zero appearances on this episode.
Yeah, those are four of the five strongest chefs as far as past wins and past top appearances. And so they're just all on the same team.
Well, I would think at this point you realize... Oh, by the way, Meg, nice job with the knives transition. I think at this point you would realize they're clumping us for our team picking. So I'm going to stand next to... Beard. I'm going to stand next to James Beard every time. Justin Beard. I'm just going to hang out near Justin Beard for every episode, just in case Emerald walks in and makes us a team. I'm going to annoy him. I'm going to hold his leg and I'm going to hug it and I'm never going to let go. I mean, don't you see that this is happening now? You'd
still be more well liked than Michael is. I think you're still like, God.
Nobody likes Michael.
Yeah. He's obnoxious.
I feel bad for him now, though, because like, I feel like that kind of, know-it-allness is like clearly overcompensating for some like deep wounds that he has not yet healed.
No kidding.
But is happy to describe for you.
What do you guys think was the deal with Michael this episode? I mean, he literally chopped up vegetables for the entire.
He sous chefed himself.
So smart. He was so smart.
This is smart. I think it's smart, but it also can come back to bite you. He did not have a dish. Yeah. He instead helped the other four chefs on his team get their dishes out. So this is sort of like what Benny was doing when he was a sous chef on the taco truck.
You cannot go home for no dish.
With this many chefs, you're basically guaranteeing a middle run. If there were five chefs, you might go home for not making a dish.
Yeah,
but
right
with 15,
but someone is going to screw up worse than you. Yeah, there's no.
Well, he's not conceptualizing. He's not taking responsibility for any part of the dish. He's just doing mirepoix.
And it was the same with Patty too on the winning team. She just helped out everybody.
Yeah. I could imagine them chewing you out for like, this is Top Chef, don't try to skate by.
But you skate by that.
It's not as risky as letting them videotape you talking to your family.
But that happened, and nothing happened to Nick.
We saw
Nicholas talk on the phone. We even saw a picture of his baby wearing a pink rabbit costume. Neither top
still
nor bottom.
Yeah, nothing.
Man, they are slowly
improving.
Never heard from Nick again the whole episode.
He looked like he was crying in like the stew room.
But I heard him weeping in the background, I think.
But he was also skating by just happily in the middle of the OK team, the orange team. Do you guys think that maybe they're so on to us now about that being a crutch, the call? Do you think they're so on to us that maybe it's not a thing anymore?
They're just screwing with us, maybe.
No, it doesn't matter.
It might be dead. The trope might be dead, yeah.
Yeah.
We've got to find the new trope. What's it going to be?
Ooh.
Yeah.
I think it's acting like you know what you're doing, probably.
Well, that's still a thing.
All these chefs who knew New Orleans had a Vietnamese community like that. People were just like, Vietnamese food? What? I spent 6 months practicing gumbo.
Yeah.
No one spent 6 months. Everyone is still surprised when the judges show up anywhere. I don't understand how people don't realize that this is a show.
Well, actually, we were talking earlier about how long between when they find out they're on the show and when it ends. But also, the way Nicholas was talking to his family today, episode 4, this could be half a week, and he was weeping and missing his wife. If it's been 4 episodes, how long could you have been away from your family at this point?
Probably a week, I'd say.
Well, it's like Top Chef years, though, right? Like it accelerates time and stuff. Mm-hmm. You feel it's really intense, right? Because like
he's gonna get back, and his kid is gonna be 14.
Yeah, exactly. It's time dilation.
That's possible. So, do you guys think? Who do you think is coming up on Michael? So Michael was not being much of the enemy in this episode. How did you guys side, for example, in the battle between Travis, who sleeps with Asians, and the time-traveling Sarah, who wants to tell him what lettuces to use and correct every other thing and also put away lemongrass? Maybe I'm telling you what side I'm on.
Sarah with the tattoos?
Yeah, Sarah with the tattoos. What did you guys think? Because it looked like there was some new battlegrounds being laid.
I thought I really liked Sarah the last 3 episodes, and I don't know if it was the editing or maybe she really was just being a bit of a jerk, but she was bad. She was putting stuff away. She put the lemongrass away, or at least that's what the editor.
Yeah, they definitely seem to imply it.
Yeah, oh yeah, put, yeah, yeah.
Right?
She took it out of their cart and put it back. Whether or not she put it away.
And just for some context, this is a Vietnamese challenge, and all of their dishes call for lemongrass that they're making. Mm-hmm. And due to some miscommunication with the grocery shopping, one team, the team with Travis and Sarah on it, did not have lemongrass. Yeah. And Justin, top beard, had a ton of lemongrass, and he's like, "Well, if only they'd asked me." But you know, I'm not.
Yeah, was that a dick move or not?
Let's talk about that. Actually, I want to talk about that in a bit. Let's get back to whether or not that was a dick move.
But anyway, so they didn't have any lemongrass.
Yeah,
and Travis, I don't know, man, romaine lettuce and all that stuff. It just seems like maybe he was hard to work with, and maybe he had he was talking about the Vietnamese food that he had in Denver all the time.
Yeah,
that like.
Yeah, and he ended up settling on that. Like, he basically sort of forced Aussie and Benny to make the to make tomato sauce on a fried shrimp dish, which they got totally dinged for, including one of Tom's sassier moments on the history of the show, where he was like, "I'm sure there's a McDonald's in France that doesn't
make it." But if I ask you to make French food, don't bring me a burger.
Yeah,
yeah.
No matter how good the pickle is.
Yeah, one of the pickles really good.
Yeah. And, I mean, that Aussie girl, Janine, was kind of out of her depth, unfortunately. She was only used to putting shrimps on Barbies, and here she is double frying, covering it in batter and
covering
sauce.
Covering everything in sauce.
And then she goes home for it.
Yeah, I have to say, though, for my money, the worst sin you can commit as a Top Chef contestant is when someone gives you valid criticism or valid information, and you're just like, no. That's not true. Like, which is what Travis did several times, and I found it completely obnoxious. Yeah. So much worse than Sarah, like, being like, this guy seems like he's kind of being an asshole. Maybe I'll try and help by micromanaging him. Like, I could see myself doing that so much more easily than I can see, like, oh, Eddie, you're stupid, because, like, you didn't think that not having lemongrass was, like, going to be okay.
He was shit-talking on Eddie Wang,
he was like, Eddie's
guy.
Not from Vietnam.
Also, every single one of his outfits made me want to hug him.
Yeah. He wore some great outfits.
Let's talk about Eddie for a second. Did you guys read Hugh Atchison's blog?
No, not yet.
All of the blogs mentioned Eddie's great outfits, but Hugh pointed out that Eddie hates him and made it sort of clear that he does not like Eddie either. So apparently Eddie is sort of a polarizing figure in New Orleans cuisine.
Yeah.
He's in New York.
Yeah, he's in New York.
His restaurant's in New York.
Oh, okay. I take that back.
Yeah. Why does Eddie hate Hugh?
He did not go any further into that.
I was like, nice. I have made a point to piss on all of his soups whenever I'm like in the kitchen.
I don't know. Hugh seems so likable to me, but I'm sure he can be pretty hard when he needs to be.
Oh, Hugh seems like he can be really stern and strict at times.
Yeah. And maybe is he former New Orleans and then moved to New York? Eddie, do you know? Is he former New Orleans? Or New Orleans?
He's just an expert in Vietnamese food.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well,
that was why he was brought
in. He also took some digs at his outfits. Hugh did not like his outfits as much as you guys did. His bright colors.
I was all over it, yeah.
Well, so Travis, so you're siding with Travis for his shit-talking of the judge and not listening to Sarah. I think I really hated the way Sarah was going about it, but it does seem like she might have been right about every point she made. Like,
absolutely.
She was right about which kind of lettuce to use, and she was right about no tomato sauce. And, right.
Well, did they actually, the judges end up saying anything about him using romaine lettuce?
Hugh mentioned very briefly on the blog and was just like, yeah, I like romaine, but it doesn't make sense here. But that wasn't the flaw of his dish.
I mean, here's the thing. Sarah's dishes weren't good either, right? Like, they were like, this filling is weird. Like, it's sort of like, no one wins.
And she
like, they both...
Well, no one on that team won.
Right,
but they spent so much time sort of infighting and correcting each other that they didn't have time to like focus on anything.
And Benny got the pass for just being like so lost that they didn't feel as bad.
It's like it's a lost puppy. I can't put him down.
Yeah. And also, you know, like Stephanie Seymour was on that team, and she did a pretty good dessert that seemed to be.
Yeah,
it seemed like it was the least bad dessert that they had that day.
Horribly ugly, but totally delicious. Today was not a day you went home for making delicious food that was not very interesting.
Yeah.
There was a lot of worse things. Well, so I guess to finish this up then, so the Aussie went home for double frying her shrimp. That ended
apparently
up being...
Apparently not a thing
you
should
do. And then putting it in a sauce, so it's soggy double fried shrimp.
Yeah, yeah. And the sauce was made by Benny, right? And Sarah took credit for the rice, so it really came down to just the shitty cooking of the shrimp. That's what they were punishing her for.
I mean, I think meat, like in the range of errors, I think, like, bad meat is like pretty much at the top, right? Like if you screw up the protein, that's like, it's really tough to recover from that.
Yeah, especially with Tom. Tom hates when you miscook your food, your protein.
Basic mistakes.
Yeah. So, and then on the other hand, we had so that was the drama team, was the green team. On the other hand, we had the red team, which was Megan's favorites, all hanging out together. Nina, Carrie, Shirley, Justin, and Patty. Who wasn't in this episode, but sure, and surely
Patty not looked, pictured.
It seemed like it was going to be like it was Justin for a while, and then Shirley won. How did you guys do predicting? Because I was pretty sure Janine was going home from about halfway in.
I had no idea about Janine going home.
Oh,
I really,
really
thought it was going to be.
I mean, I didn't want it to happen. Yeah,
yeah. I thought it was going to be Travis for sure.
I was hoping it was Travis.
I'm so glad it was not Travis. I didn't want to have to put him on suicide watch. Not give him any towels.
God. He seemed like he'd be a non-believer.
How would he dry his hands?
What did you say, Tanya? He seems like a non-believer?
Oh, I was going to say, I feel like he'd be one of those people who got kicked off and was like, I mean, because when they got called out for their food, he was like, I stand behind every single dish we made.
Yeah.
Like, I felt like he would get kicked off and be like, you guys are making a huge mistake.
And I really liked the battle with him and Sarah, because it seemed like two classic Top Chef tropes where, like, Sarah was, like, always correcting everybody, possibly sent from the past, time traveled into Top Chef just to screw everybody up.
And then wears a headscarf or a hair scarf.
Yeah. And then
Rockabilly.
And then Travis seemed like the classic, like, he's an expert on Vietnamese food, but apparently he's only in Vietnamese food like in a Dr. Seuss book or something.
Off of a young man's body.
I want to go to this restaurant at least once, though, right?
Like, it seems like...
You know what they say,
I mean,
once
come on, guys.
Never.
He also ate Vietnamese food at a McDonald's in Central Vietnam.
Right, yeah. Italian McDonald's.
He kept saying, like, oh, it reminds me of grandma. Like, I really like the idea that Travis just has this crazy grandma who's not Vietnamese but claims to be. She's like, no, tuna sandwich, totally Vietnamese staple. You got to have this. It's just tuna fish. It's with
put a pickle on it. Yeah, they eat this all the time in Vietnam.
Potato salad with red sauce. It's a Vietnamese classic.
No, I mean, my Rotary Club makes it insensitive to Vietnam. They eat it up.
I like the idea also maybe that, like, his memory is just shit and, like, has, like, kind of sliced and diced, like, the other, like, food, like, meals he's had, like, in his lifetime. So it's just, like, everything just kind of gets, like, mishmashed. And so he's like, yeah, Vietnam, was that the time that I had the chicken McNuggets? Yeah, that sounds about right.
That seems, yeah.
It's weird that Vietnam, they put Mick in front of every food they serve.
Yeah. Mick, this is the Mick Pho.
I would totally try some McPho once.
Oh, God. And then there was Orange Team, right? And Orange Team almost was at the bottom. It was a race to the bottom between them and Green. And Orange was what the rest. So Brian Husky was on that team. We actually saw him do a good thing.
He did great,
We actually saw him do a thing.
And he did it well. And who else was on that team?
Which
was Michael.
It was Nicholas, Carlos Lewis, and Malcolm Gladwell.
Carlos, who was really, really nervous about cooking Vietnamese.
This was the soup, right?
Mexican. Yeah. So, like, Carlos, just make this soup. It'll be easy. And he's like, oh, I'm so nervous.
So actually, that was a kind of great moment, right? When, like, they came by, the chefs tasted. They were like, he was like, they tasted it. It's like, oh, it was pretty good. And he was like, yeah, what do you think? And, like, I guess one of the judges was
Emeril.
Like, yeah, he was like, push it. And he was like, I have no idea what that means.
Well, because he made it totally worse.
Yeah, Emeril mentioned in his blog that it was better when we tasted it. Yeah,
Emeril said it, mentioned his blog again, that it was better when he tasted it the first time than in the final product.
Maybe that advice wasn't helpful, Emeril.
I was like, he just meant play push it in the background. He didn't mean do anything to this.
Down.
I thought push it was just Emeril's, like, make it work. I thought he was just being like...
That was a Project Runway type.
Yeah, you just
being advice.
Yeah, you know what? It's fine. Make it work.
You're not here to make friends.
Yeah. Actually, and also another thing from the blogs is they made it sound like the Orange Team did not do very badly at all. That this was actually a pretty decent team. So.
Yeah, I guess the editing really made it seem more like not so good.
I think that's to the credit of the chefs this year. It's so good that they have to make the little mistakes look horrible to make it seem like there's still that drama.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Also, one more bonus thing before we move on. Did you guys watch notice the terrible plank off?
Oh, yeah.
That was not good form.
They were bored, so they were just like, okay, we all do yoga.
Let's do a plank off, except they were all triangle-shaped planking.
They weren't very flat.
Their butts
some of them
way far in the air. The whole, that's what it's called, planking. It's not called bend boarding. It's
Or like flat. A-framing.
A-framing, yeah. Totally different exercise. They were terrible at planking, every one of them.
Shirley, and Shirley, who is one of the most triangular of the planks, won.
I was actually thinking, guys, do you want to have a plank off for the rest of the episode?
No.
Right now?
I'm doing
it. Sure, I mean, I'm planking right now.
I'm planking so hard right now.
I'm going to plank under, my legs will plank, all right? My legs will actually plank. I have my legs up for the rest of the show.
I mean, given that the way they had their backs, obviously planking can mean different things to different people. Yeah. I'm planking in this chair right now. You can tell.
When I was planking in Central Asia, this is how they all planked.
In Central Vietnam, this is just how they planked.
It's Vietnamese, so it's called a McPlank.
Yeah.
All right, so let's do this. Wait, go ahead, Tanya. One more thing.
Oh, I was just going to say something about the stew room. Something that I thought was interesting was the, like, they, at one point they, like, mentioned the passage of time, like, between when they, like, went out for their criticism, when the losing team went out for their criticism, and, like, by the time they came back, which was just interesting to think about, like, how long that actually takes and, like, how much of it we don't see, like, how long they spend being like, no, but seriously, that rice was unbelievably awful. Like, I need more information on badly you messed this up.
It makes me think that maybe there was a lot of finger pointing on the green team that they didn't, that didn't make it into the editing.
Oh yeah.
I would have included that.
No, but they had that great Padma sass moment where she was like, oh, they're all hugs now.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Padma, saucy quip of the day. Also that, and she likes to be slapped in the mouth with me.
It was slapped in the face.
Okay. Slapped in the mouth.
Come on.
Padma was killing it. But the way she said, oh, they're all hugs now, made me think that the green team had been really mean to each other. But why wouldn't they show that? They always show that.
Yeah, no, that's weird. Seems like stuff.
Maybe it was like surprisingly racist, like too racist for...
Yep, go to our website for special footage. Too racist for TV.
Because Travis just went about his love for Asians.
I thought she meant going forward. Like, they're all hugs now, but as soon as we tell someone to go home, they're going to hate each other.
We're about to make this so much worse.
Yeah. We're about to destroy this happy family.
All the judges are just like cackling. They're just like,
I love the idea that if something's too racist for Top Chef, they would like cut to a screen of Tom like holding up two knives and like shrugging and being like, and like old music.
We'll be right back.
Like, too racist for Top Chef. We'll be back in a moment.
All right, so let's go on to our quipfire, you guys. So my question for the quipfire today, lies of omission. Justin Beard has lemongrass in spades. He is just lousy with lemongrass. And this team next to him is failing. He's running a small but very profitable lemongrass farm in his kitchen. Meanwhile, the green team is running around yelling about how they don't have any. And he opts to, I guess in the words of... in the words of Napoleon, not share that lemongrass unless they ask for it.
By the way, that's totally not what Napoleon said.
Not a Napoleon quote, as far as
I looked it up. It was never correct your enemy, especially when he's making a mistake.
That makes sense. Although, also, why was Napoleon
your enemy
like?
They're losing.
I can't imagine Napoleon ever like calling a rival army and be like, "Guys, you're marching way out of step."
Look, I can't allow you to do this. All right, you should be firing at our heads. All right, you're aiming for like feet shot or something.
When I beat you, I want to beat you at your best.
Tighten it up, mister. So, what do you guys think? Do you think he should have volunteered the lemongrass to the team that needed lemongrass?
I mean, it's less of a dick move, right? Like, it's honorable Top Chef helpery to do that.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, we'd all respect that, wouldn't we?
Yeah, but I don't think that it's a total sin to do what he did. Was to say, hey, we have some, you know, that they could use if they'd even think to ask anybody else in the kitchen.
I guess it was more the smirk when he was saying it in the talking head. It was like, if they had asked us, we had lots of lemongrass.
All he had to say was the magic word was like, please give me lemongrass.
Yeah, like these people are panicking. They're not thinking straight because they don't have their lemongrass. Like, I think he should have shared.
I don't think he's a total dick for it, but I definitely liked, whenever there's a situation like this, I like to think, what would Top Chef Masters do? And they would have given him lemongrass. Yeah. No
question.
They'd
be like, let me give you prepped lemongrass and like I'll help you season this dish.
Yeah. And they'd be relaxed. Can I plate for you? Singing songs.
I also stand by the philosophy on Top Chef that if you're really going to win honorably, you're going to win because your dish was the best, not because somebody else screwed up because they forgot their lemongrass.
Right. Right. And if you can't...
Which is a motto that carries across everything.
Well, just Top Chef especially. I don't want to extend it right yet.
The time like I won the Indy 500, it was because I let my opponents all have just enough lemongrass, and I still beat them. I think especially in the case of like if the only reason you're beating them is because they're missing lemongrass, you're gonna lose in episode 5 anyway, so it's not really worth your time.
That's true.
I do like the bracelet of what would masters do. I think that's actually not a bad way to live your life. Like what would Chef Obi-Wan do?
Yeah.
It's a great
Yeah.
Well, definitely.
He'd cook a goddamn fantastic chicken is what he'd cook. Yeah.
And then everybody would give him a birthday cake because they like him so much.
Yeah.
And then they'd all go wrestle some dogs.
Yeah.
Green dog rescue.
One of them would go wrestle some dogs.
And then the other one would go find a pack of dogs to be friends with.
Oh, God.
The rest of them would
say, my legs really hurt right now, guys.
Yeah. You can put them down, Ezra. You can put them down.
Oh,
yeah, now, here's the broader question. Now, we've got Michael and we've got Justin. New Orleans, town of backstabbing assholes?
I definitely think Justin is a better chef and a nicer person, no doubt.
I think actually that Michael would stab you in the front.
Yeah. And he would tell you how lucky you are.
He would throw your okra on the table. Yeah,
it's one of the best knives actually in all of New Orleans.
By stabbing you, I'm taking minutes out of my quickfire, so I'm challenging myself even more.
And you know what? The challenge of murdering you, I won.
I'm killing it.
And you.
Yeah.
It's nothing compared to losing my wife. I'm going to let you decide what that means. Did we just divorce? Is she dead? We don't know.
Did he stab her with some okra? Can't be true.
I think she left him, guys. I'm pretty sure that's what happened.
Oh, I really hope. Yeah. Otherwise, this is not funny.
Yeah. I think it's funny either way.
I think the magical elves will make us look good in the edit.
Oh, thanks.
Too racist for Top Chef.
Also, he did say there was also another moment where Justin Beard said that he knew the Aussie was screwing up by putting sauce on fried shrimp, and then he said, "But I am also not going to tell her that unless she asks." And that's when he made the Napoleon quote. How do we feel about that one? Is that another lie of omission or
that's
totally fair?
That's completely fine.
Yeah.
I mean, she's screwing up, and like, what are you like? It's not for him to dive in and be like, "Let me save your dish for you." Like,
yeah, no, she should cook her own dish. But you know, if they have things that like,
right,
like the ingredient thing, that's
if they were on the same team and one of them was named Sarah, she definitely would have told her what a terrible idea that was. Except she didn't.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Huh.
Or maybe Sarah did correct them and they didn't listen because she'd corrected everything else, and so they got tired of her.
Right, she's too busy ruining some rice in a corner.
Yeah.
it was the girl who cried, "No, you're fucking this up."
it's like Napoleon used to say. So actually, one more quickfire, you guys. Like a prediction now. Can anybody beat Justin and Shirley?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I think Justin could. Justin, I think, is going to screw up at some point.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. He has a sense of, I don't know. I think I wanted to lose at some point.
Is perfection the word you're looking for?
Well, no, it's just, I think what's going to happen is at one point he'll be too boring. And then like, maybe like someone will be like catch like a lucky break and be inventive. Like Stephanie will be like, you know, like expand like the realm of like what like food can be. And then, he'll just be like knocked out from that.
Like they'll eat something that was not edible before.
Yeah, exactly. They'll eat light or something like that. I don't know.
Surely we'll reinvent the table as food.
They're gonna
Nina,
eat light.
I think Nina's giving them all a run.
Yeah,
we'll give them all a run for their money.
Nina is firing all cylinders. I like it a lot.
And Carrie too. I believe in. I think Carrie's.
Yeah, Carrie seems like she'd go far. She made an underwhelming dessert this time.
She also helped with the tartar thing.
I think Carrie's great, but she's made
super weird.
Carrie's made great dough, great dessert, great dough again. I have she made a dessert which she didn't have to. This was not a challenge where you needed dessert. Carrie makes me nervous. I think she's not cooking enough.
I mean, she'll be do great for any team challenge though, right? Because like that's like
she'll always take dessert.
That team won't lose on dessert.
On Restaurant Wars, it seems like she's going to be front of the house. Like I just have this bad feeling about her that she's taking the bad way out.
Oh. Well, ooh. I don't have a bad feeling.
I'm gonna say, episode four. I'm gonna say Justin wins.
Okay,
I'm calling Justin the winner.
I'll just pick any. Right,
yeah,
I say anyone else.
You'll take the under on him winning.
I'll take the under on him winning.
That's very brave of you.
Mm. Oh, I guess. Is there anyone? No, I guess I can't say it. Is there anyone who's like already been eliminated who you think are going to come back or have a far run?
You guys can't answer that.
Well,
yeah.
So we know, but what I can tell you is that so we have Neckbeard, Surf Truck, Aussie, and Ramon and Brett are all in Last Chance Kitchen, and they're cooking together, and only one of them will emerge from the first Last Chance Kitchen. And the winner of that has to beat 15 more chefs.
To get back, it's more like they have to beat 12 more chefs, right?
Well, Tom says in Last Chance Kitchen you have to beat 15 more chefs.
Is he including their presumably?
I guess that would include the final, yeah.
That includes the final. So
yeah, I guess that's true. So given that, I'm going to say that Emeril couldn't win Last Chance Kitchen from the first position. I think... I mean, Tom could not do it. 12 wins in a row, and then the finale, it's just the odds are too far against any
chef. I'm going to say Tom could do it with the caveat that he's still judging.
Yeah. Another brave bet from Ezra. Yeah.
I think I really did it this time.
I think you and Tom could roll up their sleeves and go back and do the challenge and win 12 times.
Like they're just having sex with each other.
To be 12 clear. Times. I'm going to give it to us. We did great that time.
My point is that just Last Chance Kitchen, especially like head-to-head cooking 12 times, it's just unwinnable.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any... There's not one of these chefs that could win 12 in a row.
That would
just
sweep, basically.
Not even Ramon.
I believe that
if Ramon does it, it's going to be awesome.
Do it. But I think that the people that get out early on are not of that caliber.
Every stage,
Kristen went on a great run, a short run, but she owned all over everybody, even people who were cooking really, really well in Last Chance Kitchen when she was there for like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
Well, and
do you think that she could have done that? Do you think that she could have gone from the bottom?
So 12 head-to-head matches, and you can't screw up anything. You can't slightly oversalt. And as it goes on, each person has been... When Kristen went out, she'd been cooking still for a couple weeks, so she was still on top of her game. Everybody else, as you go along the show, each person has been cooking better and better because they've gotten further. They're a more qualified chef. They're more practiced. And any one little thing, and the other person might do it right, zero mistakes in 12 dishes in a half an hour each... And
well, no, better than somebody else. It's not zero. So you're not cooking empirically flawless food. You're cooking better than the guy who's cooking next to you every single time.
Well, okay, but I guess I'm assuming that they're getting closer and closer to great food. I think it's going to be closer and closer to empirically correct food as it goes on. I mean, it just seems impossible. I don't know. Under that kind of pressure, not making any mistakes, I think is what you need to do 12. I don't think anyone can do it. I don't think it's possible. Hmm. I don't think Blaze could do it.
Well, I also think the thing about last season with Kristen is that she, when she got kicked off, it seemed so unfair. It didn't seem like she necessarily, it was sort of one of those injustices. And so I think that season, it really proved that justice can be served by Last Chance Kitchen. And I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, last season was definitely one. And you also felt as the eliminations went on last year, when you watched them in Last Chance Kitchen, it did feel like, those five who went home first... Good job, us, for eliminating them. It felt like it was really, it felt like it had been done very fairly.
Yeah.
We crushed it.
I mean, you're saying that about, you joke about Ramon, but it's to say, could you imagine Ramon right now? Do you think Ramon, got unfairly thrown out and would now be crushing it on this show?
I mean, he only iced the dashi. Come on, not that bad.
Pretty dumb thing.
It was a great dish of iced dashi. It just poorly named it.
So what would be the fixed name for the shrimp dish today? Soggy shrimp with crappy sauce.
Yeah.
Double fried shrimp. Double fried crab shrimp.
Double fried tomato sauce smothered shrimp.
All right.
Maybe just probably Arby's special or something like that.
Yeah.
So next week, you guys, make sure you watch Last Chance Kitchen. We'll talk about episode 1 and 2 of Last Chance Kitchen next week. Any final thoughts on episode 4 before we move on?
I miss quick fires.
Yeah, I miss quick fire too. Did you guys like them driving around sampling food with Emeril?
Yeah, that was fun.
I did.
So
here's
the thing, and Tanya and I were chatting about this, is that we come from Seattle, and we've seen Vietnamese food before.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like with the nuanced stuff, they might have a...
Hold on a second. Let's just like take in your bragging first. Okay, that's very impressive.
Okay. No, but I mean, like, maybe it's just... And, like, you guys are also West Coast, so Vietnamese food isn't terribly foreign. But, you know, the Vietnamese food they were eating didn't look that outside of the box or that, you know, it looks like Vietnamese food that...
That bakery looked awesome. I liked that bakery.
I do like that you can go into a place and just try anything. That's kind of fun.
Yeah. Emerald's got the credit card. Eat anything you want here. That seems like
it's
a great
all
time.
On Emerald.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's fresher shrimp than we have. So that's something.
Yeah, I thought the shrimp kind of made it a specialized, like, local thing.
Yeah.
More than... Yeah, but I was like, oh, you could have just gone to Capitol Hill. You could have walked a block and done exactly the same thing.
Gail mentioned, this actually goes back to your thing about how long the time is that we're editing out, is that Gail mentioned that they almost always order from a Vietnamese restaurant down the street during the judges' table, that the judges were always ordering pho from down the street. Which, there's enough time that they have to take a dinner break during judges' table.
Oh, my God.
That's intense.
I wonder if Padma has to change. Yeah, she's wearing a very white dress.
White dress with, like, weird cutouts.
She's a great
stuff.
Eater. She knows what she's doing.
Yeah, but pho splatters, man.
Not Padma.
If you're amateur,
Yeah. She's a pro taster.
I noticed, guys, that this episode seemed kind of, like, anti-Randian a little bit. Like, where it's, like...
the world is anti-Randian.
Well, but you have, like, these two people...
Justice
I mean,
is anti
to be fair, we're... Okay, guys, we're talking about Ayn Rand and objectivism.
Yeah, so what you have...
In the context of Todd
Chef. You have a couple people who are just, like, you know, think they're really awesome at things, and just all the haters are just trying to bring them down, right? So, like, Travis is like, you know, like, I know what's best for, like, you know, Vietnamese cooking.
Tomatoes and, like, and romaine lettuce.
Yeah, and just all the haters are just trying to, like, suck him down. And same with, like, Michael, where it's just like, he's like, oh, yeah, I know everything about, like, you know, New Orleans
and then he blows
my hair. And, yeah, it just everyone hates them. Everyone just, like, everyone around these people who are, like, excellent people, they just hate them.
Except, except Justin is clearly the most excellent, and no one hates him because he's a nice guy.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
secretly a dick.
Ayn Rand.
Secretly a dick. It's a secret dick, yeah.
A dick of omission.
Yeah.
Sarah for the win. All right. Well, let's. I think that's it for this week, you guys. I think we should shuffle along. Any last thoughts? No. Okay. Good.
Megan, are you going to say something? Or
no, Megan. Do you have one more thing?
It's
got to be able to beat dick of omission.
Well, it's not going to. Never mind.
12 times. You have to have 12 perfect jokes. No one can do it. Not even Blaze.
We could all probably beat the dick of omission together if we wanted to, right, guys?
It's not a team challenge anymore.
I'll take dessert.
You guys, I had a bunch of lemongrass, but I don't want to give it to you.
I have a bunch of perfect jokes that this thing needs right now, but I'm not gonna share them. All right, you guys, thanks so much for listening. Be back next week. Sorry we didn't get to the one thing that was requested of us this week. We did not talk about Last Chance Kitchen, but we will next week.
Oh, I didn't know. What do you
mean? It was requested.
We didn't know.
Oh, it was.
Really should have said.
There was a comment on our on last week's episode on packyourmics.com. Somebody commented.
I'm
was like,
so sorry.
It's all right.
We were hungover this morning.
Yeah, that makes him... I'm sure he feels better now. That perfect.
No, it's okay, because I was hungover. That's why it's all right.
If you guys have anything else you want us to talk about next week, we won't listen to you, but go to packyourmics.com.
Sorry. We'll do it the week after.
We'll tell you that we knew we could have, but then didn't. So,
we just have an extra week for processing.
So tell us...
It's a backlog, all right?
Yeah.
Tell us what classic dish you'd like to see reimagined, and tell us who you think is going to beat James Beard, because I don't think anybody. And also, mark this in your calendars as the day that I called the winner of Top Chef. Top Chef 11.
Will do.
Thank you.
The famous James Beard.
James Beard is going to win Top Chef 11.
James Beard probably could go, right? Like 12 rounds specifically in Last Chance.
Well, if he was also, his committee was judging.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah. We're going to give this to our boss.
Anyway, thank you guys so much for listening. Packyourmics.com is where you can go to let us know about all of that. If you want to support our show, go to packyourmics.com/Amazon whenever you buy something from there, and you can help us pay for some bandwidth costs. Thank you for being here, Sarah and Ezra.
Of course.
Thanks for being here in Brooklyn, Chris and Tanya.
Yeah.
Happy to be here. In my Portland studio, Megan, thanks for joining me.
Absolutely.
And we'll be back again next week. Before we go, Chris, sorry to do this to you, buddy.
Hmm?
Pack your mics and go.
It's been an honor cooking for y'all and podcasting. I stand behind my dishes.
Yeah.
I look forward to the opportunity to earn a spot back in an almost ridiculously impossible gauntlet of other commenters.
I like
just to be him. It's just to go against all the other Chris's.
I do like Last Chance Podcast, where we make Chris and one other contestant go head to head, and the funniest person gets back on.
And if they win, they just get to be on the show, yeah. And I don't.
Yes. All right, everybody. Take care. We'll talk to you next week. Bye.
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 Bye. Bye.